Mastermind Agent is proud to present Success Calls. Top real estate agents from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the calls at www.mastermindagent.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Cerrone with Mastermind Agent. This month's top agent is Nate Brill with Realty One Group in Surprise, Arizona. Last year, he closed 80 transactions with a total sales volume of $22 million. His average sales price was $272,000, of which 50% were buyers and 50% were sellers. Nate has a six-member team, one buyer specialist, one team agent, one listing coordinator, one transaction manager, one marketing manager, and one team leader. Nate is the team leader of the Brill team. He's been an agent for 4 years. He works the Metro Phoenix market. In this call, Nate talks about having a fast start and selling 27 homes his first year, ramping up to 73 homes his second year and 80 homes his third year when he closed 66 transactions personally. Why his production fell in half to 39 homes his fourth year. Why we learn more from our failures than our successes. Lessons learned in the down year and how you can avoid it. The benefits of a lead generation schedule. How he closed 2 homes per month, 24 per year, by hosting open houses. Detailed open house statistics, such as best day to hold an open, average leads per open on different days of the week, number of leads needed to get to a closing, and days in market from first introduction to close. Description of his open house system. Why he does not add every visitor to his registration book and why relationship building is the key to open house success. How 35% of his business is from repeat and referrals from past clients and sphere of influence and why he never asks for a referral. Team dynamics, compensation, profit margins, and more. Welcome to the call, Nate.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Nate. Great to have you here. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. Nate, before we talk about what you're doing today, let's go back for a minute and talk about what you did before you got into real estate.
I was in, I guess you could call it sales. I was actually an account manager for a company that was an automotive parts remanufacturer. So we were actually contracted through General Motors, and I worked there from the time that I was 18, really my first real job, and started out answering phones, customer service stuff, and then worked my way up into an account manager role. And I was their youngest one that they had ever had in that role. And it was actually the owner of the company who took a big leap of faith and gave me quite the responsibility, because you're traveling all over the country on the company's dime. You are driving rental cars for sometimes weeks on end and representing the company. So at the ripe age of, I think I was 21 or 22 when I took that position, I was able to start doing that, which while doing that, I was actually building a business with my brother, which was a water feature company, where we actually built water features for residential, very nice homes and restaurants and those types of things. So I kind of had those two going on simultaneously, which one fed the other in terms of a knowledge base. Everything I was learning at the company I was working for was really instructing me on what it meant to actually run a business. And then the water feature business was teaching me actually how to be an entrepreneur, which allowed me to apply those same kind of skills to running my actual territory. And all of that between the two of them is really what gave me the all-around skill set to do what I do now. And I actually have carryover from both of those that I actually think about regularly as coming from one or the other. And it's kind of weird sometimes when I'm thinking about what I do every day, because the parallels are so direct. You know, you're talking about very different industries. You know, you're talking automotive as my main vocation at the time. And you're talking about real estate. And while they seem very different from one another, they're actually, at the end of the day, the job that I do feels to be about the same, because it's all people.
How long were you doing this automobile remanufacturing parts business? And the business you had there with your brother, the water feature business, how long were you doing that before you went into real estate?
The company that I started with, I worked there for 12 years. And about 9 of those 12 years was as an account manager. The other 3 was in customer service. And then the water feature business we had from 07 to the end of 09. So not too terribly long. It was definitely, if those years ring a bell for you, it wasn't just bad for real estate. It was also not the greatest time to be building a complete and total luxury product that only a few people have enough money for, especially in the height of the recession. So that one didn't last too terribly long, but I learned a heck of a lot.
Now, why did you decide to switch over and get into real estate?
I wish I had like a real story as to why real estate, but I really don't. What it really comes down to is that at the company that I was at for all those years, it had been changing slowly. It had been purchased, and I was sort of falling out of love with the company itself, because I was, anytime that I am working for a company or working for myself, whatever, my heart's all into what I'm doing. And so when that started to slide with the company itself, it just felt like they really didn't care much anymore. I was starting to feel not like I was floundering, but like I just couldn't find my place and what I really wanted to do. And I had been asking and asking and asking literally for years for more of a leadership role. I was leader by my actions, but not by position. And that was fine for a while, but I really felt like I was capable of more. So I was in this kind of like soul searching place for probably the last 2 years, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I knew that the business with my brother hadn't gone well, so I really didn't want to start a business, not one that I had to go and like build or buy product. And then I was out on the road in Minnesota, and I was listening to Dave Ramsey. And Dave Ramsey is, I'm sure a lot of people know who he is, but he's all about getting out of debt and all that stuff. But the primary reason why I listened to him was that it was a constant driver of being better, working harder, earning your keep. And I had listened to all of these calls with people who were doing really, really well. And a lot of times they were in sales. And there were a few key ones that I remembered where it was actually real estate. And I remember that Dave Ramsey himself had gotten his start selling real estate. And I don't know what it was in that moment, but it was literally like an immediate, it clicked. I pulled my car over on the side of some rural road in the middle of Minnesota, called my wife and told her, this is it. This is the thing that I had been looking for. I just wasn't really aware of what it was. And then by that evening, I was signed up for class and I still had to work my day job. So I didn't get to actually get started in real estate for a few more months, but I knew as soon as the idea hit me, I knew absolutely that that was it. I mean, without a second guess, I knew for sure that this was the right avenue for me.
You said you signed up for that class right away. Did you quit your job right away, or did you try to do both at the same time?
I started class very quickly after, and of course it was December, and so they had like a 3-week period where I couldn't go to class. I went to one class and then had to wait 3 weeks to go to the next one. So I still had my day job, and my day job was very flexible, because I will say very flexible except for the travel part, which was very inflexible. But when I was working out of the office, which was my home office, it allowed me the ability to kind of get my work done so that when I went to real estate school, I could go and kind of, I mean, I felt guilty about it the entire time I did it, but I kind of had to. I couldn't make the leap because I didn't even have the ability to make income. So I kept the job. I was working the job, and then I was getting licensed at the same time. Got licensed in March of 2014, and then quit and went full-time into real estate I think it was May, like 15-ish. But what's really funny is that I remember when I told my wife, you know, that I was getting licensed, I said, my goal is to be able to quit by the end of 2014. And then that turned into, I really want to quit by like September of 2014. And then I was like, well, let's push it to June. And then I was very quickly realizing there was going to be no keeping up, and had to just decide that I was going to quit and take that leap of faith. Not having any closings at that point, but I had, fortunately, like I said, with the Dave Ramsey program, we had a lot of money in the bank. But we were making an educated jump, because I had stuff in the pipeline, people that I was very, very confident were going to do something. And if they didn't, I had several months in the bank where myself until I got there, but I knew I was going to hinder my ability to actually be successful if I kept the day job. And I knew one or the other was going to fail, if not both, if I tried to keep them both going.
Sounds like you got in a little before the middle of the year. How did that first 6 months go?
If you were to break the first 6 months in two, the first three of those 6 months was a lot of really, really, really hard work with no return of any sort, other than just feel good if I was adding leads to the pipeline. But I didn't have a single closing for 3 months, almost exactly the day. So I got my license March 14th. I had my first closing on June 11th. But then the following 3 months after that, it depends on how you define a quick start. I think by any real measure, it was a quick start. But the second 3 months of that 6 month portion were busy. And in August, I had 8 closings. But to me, being wired the way I am, I still felt unsuccessful, which is sort of stupid and it sounds silly in retrospect. But I had expected a much stronger start than what I actually got, or in my mind what I got, because of how much work I was doing. I mean, I was working 70, 80 hours a week, just grinding, grinding, grinding. And so I would have thought that it would have happened faster, but it was a good 6 months, no question about it.
Do you remember your production numbers from that first year? You know, you start to get into mode there and you start to plug in. Do you recall what the results were that first year?
Yeah, so the first year we had 27 closings, and that was really the first 6 months from when I went full-time. So I count when I really started, basically call it like June 1st. So June through the end of the year, we had 27 closings. I take credit for the 27 closings because I earned those 27 closings. I'm the one who originated them and basically worked to convert them. But I was on a team at the time, and it was kind of a different sort of setup where it was kind of like a team within a team. And so I was generating them, and then it would get handed off for somebody else to close. And I will kind of keep my opinion to myself about the way that was set up. But I will say that it was very defeating to know that those closings were mine, that I earned them, that I worked really hard to get them and didn't get really any credit for them. And I got paid for them, but our MLS didn't give me any credit for them. And a lot of the agents, you know, took the credit for them on Zillow. And those, you know, especially when you're first getting started, you're trying to wrap up and hold as many of those closings as you can to your name so that you can start to build some credibility. And so I was limited in what I could really claim, even though the truth of it is that they were mine. So for the sake of me tracking my numbers, I know they're mine. My spreadsheet that I keep has them identified as mine because I generated them.
This is really interesting. So you started on a team, and I'm trying to get a handle on what your position was on the team. Were you a ISA, an inside sales agent? Were you a buyer agent? What was the role of the team? And we're going into why you felt dissatisfied with that role as well. What was the role?
Yeah, so it was a different role than you're going to find on just about any team across the country, because it really didn't exist. And I think the idea of it was a good one. I just don't think it worked out. So the idea was that you would have an identified team leader. I mean, this was a big team that I was on. And so I think we had like 30 or 50 agents, or I can't remember. We had a lot of agents. And so the team leader basically identified several different people within the team that I think these will make really good team leaders, which a lot of people were pissed that I had become one because I hadn't had any sales to my name yet. But the team leader knew my history in terms of my sales history, my ability to sell, and just, I guess, I don't know, the way I interacted with him, he had the confidence in me to become a team leader. And so I think he had like 6 or 7 different team leaders, and then he had several different members underneath them. So what my job was to, he had gone and spent an astronomical amount of money on like Trulia and Zillow, and I think it was just Trulia actually, and funneled all of...
This audio clip is from Success Calls on the Mastermind Agent Network. If you like the clip and want to hear the entire call, consider joining Success Calls, where top real estate agents share their success tips, ideas, and advice. Learn more at mastermindagent.com.